really hot, Mike.
Somebody check the woofers.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's really inspiring that all of you decided to attend this mandatory drug awareness assembly. I'm Mr. Marty Culp.
And I'm Ms. Bobby Mohan Culp. And of course, we do head up the music department here at Altadena Middle School.
Today you've heard a lot about how damaging drugs can be, and boy do we know it.
Sure.
Bobby and I once faced the terrors of tripping on pot.
It was no day at the beach. Lesson learned. Tough stuff.
Yes.
So in the spirit of drug awareness, let's respect our bodies.
Protect our futures. And roll up a fatty full of fellowship and funk. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Make me sick
or get suspended.
One that won't make me crash my car or make me feel 3 feet sick, sick, sick.
Black hole sun, won't you guide me?
Wash away the rain.
Black hole sun, won't you guide me? Won't you guide me?
Ladies, leave your drugs at home. The car is full of bottles and your car is full of drugs.
And all you bellers, leave your bread with a friend, cause it's 11:30 and the joint is jumping, jumping.
Jump, jump, jump around, jump, 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 jump around.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering.
Dear Slim, my name is Marty. I wrote this letter because I don't like you, party. If you take drugs, I think you're a wiener. Besides, I can't take them. I'm a teacher at Altadena. I don't do drugs because I got a good hobby. It's kicking at old stool with my fresh wife, Bobby.
Yes, it's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
Georgia. He was looking for a bong to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was looking to make a deal. Fire in the mouth and run, boys, run! Dealers in the house of the rhyme is run! Reaver in the red cap, take it out,
Tom!
Grab him to the buck, right? Don't tell, Tom!
You know, sometimes you can be addicted to something that's not a drug.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You cover with a caffeine nine. So when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get strong.
Oh, I see you, baby. I'm shaking my ass.
You get strong.
Oh, I'm so horny. Shaking my ass.
We might as well face it. We're addicted to love.
Staggering defeats, Blue Oyster Cult assembled in the recording studio in late 1976 for a session with Dame producer Bruce Dickinson. And luckily for us, the cameras were rolling.
All right, guys, I think we're ready to lay this first track down. By the way, my name is Bruce Dickinson. Yes, the Bruce Dickinson. And I gotta tell you, fellas, you have got what appears to be a dynamite sound.
Coming from you, Bruce, that means a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're Bruce Dickinson.
This is incredible. I can't believe Bruce Dickinson digs our sound.
Easy, guys. I put my pants on, just like the rest of you, one leg at a time. Except, once my pants are on, I make gold records. All right, here we go. Don't fear the reaper.
Take one, roll it.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, time,
could you come in here for a second, please?
That was going to be a great track. Guys, what's the deal?
Are you sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell. So, let's take it again. And Gene.
Yeah.
Really explore the studio space this time.
You got it, Bruce.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Explore the space.
Okay.
I like what I'm hearing. Roll it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm sorry, could you come back in here, please?
Fellas, no, we just wasted two good tracks. This last one was even better than the first.
Well, it's just that I find Gene's cowbell playing distracted. I don't know, if I'm the only one, I'll shut up.
No, it's pretty rough.
You know, I can pull it back a little if you like.
Not too much, though. I'm telling you, fellas, you're going to want that cowbell on the track.
You know what? It's fine. Let's just do the thing.
Hey, roll it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That it doesn't work for me. I gotta have more cowbell.
Don't blow this for us, Gene!
Could be so selfish, Gene.
Can I just say one thing?
Say it, baby, just say it.
I'm standing here staring at rock legend Bruce Dickinson.
The cock and a walk, baby.
And if Bruce Dickinson wants more cowbell, we should probably give him more cowbell.
Hey, baby.
And Bobby, you are right. I am being selfish. But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
I'd be doing myself a disservice and every member of this band if I didn't perform the hell out of this.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Thank you, Bruce. If I just leave and maybe I'll come back later, we can lay down the cowbell.
Come on, baby.
Gene, wait.
Why don't you lay down that cowbell right now? With us. Together.
Do you mean that, Eric?
Oh, yeah. Speaks for all of us.
Thank you.
Babies. Before we're done here, y'all be wearing gold-plated diapers.
What does that mean?
Never question Bruce Dickinson. Roll it.
One, two, three, four.
Hi, I'm Dale Sturdivant. I've been raising dogs since I was 6, and nothing has brought me more joy or more sheer frustration than training a puppy. With a very young pup, correcting problem behavior can be especially maddening. And like you, I've probably tried all the tricks. Screaming myself hoarse, starving them, locking them in a closet for days on end, or just beating them without mercy. But after my 3rd arrest and court-ordered anger management counseling, I learned to channel my rage into an effective, non-violent puppy training tool. It's called dissing your dog. How to train your puppy with mockery and verbal humiliation. You see, Dogs are much more intuitive than we give them credit for. They know when they're the butt of ridicule. And when they misbehave, a well-placed sarcastic comment or cutting remark can work wonders where a rolled-up newspaper fails. Whatever your puppy's behavior problem, I guarantee I can help you fix it. Problems like jumping on furniture. Oh, no, 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 Humphrey, don't get up. Why don't you just stay there and relax? After all, you did put in a long day of work at a demanding, high-stress job. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's me. Now I remember. I'm the one with the job. You're the one who lies around the house all day in a pool of your own slobber. Accidents in the house. Hey, Walter, thanks for your help with the new off-white sofa. Everybody agrees that dump you left there was the perfect accent. So good job. Oh, and by the way, Milton Berle called. He wants his bladder control back.
That's it. Good dog.
Fussy eating habits.
Oh, right, Margaret. He wanted prime rib. Here's the deal. The Palm wasn't taking reservations. And we want to try Morton's because I understand they have a new chef. So for now, let's just go with the Alpa, okay? I know it's not your first choice, but keep in mind, you're a f***ing dog.
I'm so confident this program works, I want to send you volume one of the 5-part series free of charge. Once you've seen it, I know you'll order the rest. Right, Murphy, you brainless sack of excrement? She's being punished.
To order Dissing Your Dog, dial 1-800-555-0199. Call today.
Remember, there's one thing stronger than a dog's sense of smell. His sense of irony.
I know.
How's my hair look?
It looks okay. You have some split ends, though. I'm sorry. I'm a friend.
I respect your honesty, but it still hurts.
Oh, my God. He's going for Glenn's bishop.
Protect your bishop, Glenn!
Don't lose your bishop,
Glenn!
This early!
Oh, my God.
Protect
your bishop!
Watch out for his horse! Oh, that's great defensive check!
Oh, my God!
That's great defensive
check!
Roll call!
Cha-cha-boochie, cha-cha-cha-boochie, roll call!
I'm Ariana. I have two spirit. I got two drugs. So check me out.
Cha cha boochie, cha 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 boochie, roll call.
My name is Craig. I did drugs once. I am a Spartan. So check me out. So check us out. You G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You're ugly. You're ugly. Woo!
K-I-N-G. You can't take my key from me. You're ugly. You're ugly. Woo! Got you.
Woo! Punch me!
Punch me!
Woo! Woo! Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What?
Guess who's here?
Who?
Alexis.
Alexis? I'm only mad at her. What, Alexis? What? Where were you? Well, I only had to watch Friends alone. Now I know who my friends are. What? No? Really? Okay, me too. All right, climb in. Oh, there's your dad. I'm Mr. Buchanan.
What?
Your dad, Craig.
No, Dad. No, you can't use a flash in here. It disturbs the players. Dad. Ariana.
What?
My dad wants to take a picture of us.
Oh, great, Craig. You just told me I'd climb in.
I know.
Of course
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to forgive you for this. This is ridiculous.
So you want a victory? Well, that makes you a wisher. One thing that is for sure, you ain't no Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know. I don't know. Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know. I don't know. Go ask your mama and make sure you listen. Because one thing is for sure, Bobby Fischer's missing. Bobby Fischer.
Where is he?
I don't know. I don't know. Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know. I don't know. He's gone. Hey! Who's that Spartan in my TP?
It's me.
Who's that Spartan in my TP?
It's me.
Uh-huh. Native Americans.
Okay. Walk him through, guys.
Get up. Are you completely insane? This is a chess tournament.
Oh, my
God.
Glenn. Your knight to rook combo was a killer move.
Oh, my gosh, you're all over the board, Glenn.
Look, will you please shut up? Look, I know I'm a dork, and I have greasy hair, and that I've never kissed a girl.
Glenn, it's okay to explore your body.
Say sex is in your hands.
Sex
can
wait.
Masturbate.
You two are freaks. Do you know how far you've fallen when the chess team makes fun of you? You know, Ariana, I once dreamed of asking you out.
Glenn.
But now, I don't even think so. And Craig, I'm not sure, but I think I could kick your ass. Now, pipe down, you losers. Oh, great. It's only my move.
Oh, my God.
Glenn is so mad.
I know.
What does he want? What? We're trying to be nice to him.
I know what he wants from us. I know what he wants.
The perfect chair.
Let's kick it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Robert Goulet.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da-da-dee-da-da-doo. I know one thing we can agree on. When a professional gets his mitts on a song, that's when it really takes off. Da-da-dee-da-da-ba-da-ba-doo. That's why I've gone out and done the music world a friggin' service and cut this compact disc. It's called the Coconut Banger's Ball. It's a rap. Little inside, I know. Anyway, what you get is one full hour of rip-roaring rap music. Not by some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man. No musical accompaniment. It's just me out there. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Oh, girl, that dress is so scandalous. And you know, another nigger couldn't handle it. You see, she dumps like a truck. Hey, that's like a what? Baby, move your butt. Are they gonna sing it again? She bangs, she bop, bop, thong song. Stuff like that. Hey, you wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. So why do you let these hooligans tear down the biz? Yeah. I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon? Papa. I like it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you think you're a player. Papa. I love it when you call me Big Papa. To the honeys getting money, play niggas just like dummies. Papa. You get the idea. We call it the Coconut Banger's Ball. It's a rap. It's Snoopy, Dre, Biggie, Puffman, Coolio, the whole bunch. Who let the dogs out? Who let those dogs out? Who let those little mutts go? Yeah! Too late. Well, I've got a gig to make. But do yourself a big favor, all right, and go up. Hold on, looky here. It's a bighorn. Well, that's why I come up here. Look at you. You're hungry. You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest. Me and you, now. You win. You always do. That's why I come up here. Nature, Goulet. Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't Robert Goulet.
Coconut Bangers Ball, it's a wrap. In stores now.
This quarter, we're going to focus on earnings.
Hey, sorry I'm late, gang. On the tents and overchange was just nuts. So I apologize. Why don't you guys continue the meeting? I'm just going to grab a little coffee and we'll, again, I'm back.
How are you, Bob?
Hold on. Hello? Yes? Really? Splendid. We're going to the Dolce & Gabbana show. How fast can you have your bag packed from there on?
Wow, he's a big fella. I can see his head. Here he comes. Here he comes. And...
oh, my God.
What is it? What?
Oh, man. Oh, it was hot in there.
To Celebrity Jeopardy. Before we begin the double Jeopardy round, I'd like to ask our contestants once again, please refrain from using ethnic slurs. That said, let's take a look at the scores. Sean Connery has set a new Jeopardy record with negative $230,000.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you, Trebek? What with your Dago mustache and your greasy hair?
Look, what did I just say about ethnic slurs? From third rock from the sun, French Stewart in second place with negative $17,000.
I'm a late bloomer, Alex, and in Double Jeopardy, I'm gonna bloom.
Sure you will. And finally, back again, Burt Reynolds in a commanding lead with $14.
Hey, check out the podium. Look at this.
Mr. Reynolds has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, that's right. Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
Great. Let's take a look at the final board. And the categories are potent potables, sharp things, movies that start with the word Jaws, a petit déjeuner. That category is about French phrases, so let's just skip it.
Hey, I speak a little French. You're an asspipe. Pardon my French.
My name's French.
Yeah, well, who gives a damn?
Moving on. Animal sounds, condiments, and finally, your ass or a hole in the ground. Mr. Reynolds, unfortunately, you're in the lead, so we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll take the condom thing for $8,000.
That's condiments. For $400. This condiment is made from mustard seeds. French Stewart.
The answer, of course, is onions. I'll take condiments for $800, thank you.
That's not the right answer. Burt Reynolds.
That's not my name.
Okay, Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion.
I hate my job. The answer was mustard. Mustard is made from mustard seeds. Mr. Reynolds, it's still your board.
Yeah, well, why don't you give me 8 tit for 200?
It's not 8 tit. It's a petite, never mind. Let's just go to animal sounds for 600. This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
Okay, that's not necessary. Burt Reynolds.
Who is Scooby-Doo?
No.
Yeah, that was a funny dog, Scooby-Doo. He drove around a van and solved mysteries.
That is incorrect.
No, that's correct. I remember, he had a pal, Scrappy-Doo.
No. French Stewart, the sound a dog makes.
Who is John Cafferty in the Beaver Brown Band? Thank you very much. I'll take animal sounds for 800.
No! Good Lord! We would have accepted Bow Wow or Ruff.
Oh, Ruff. Just the way your mother likes it, Trebek.
Come on, that is way out of line. Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found this backstage, oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a, you know, a normal hat.
I see that. Get back to your podium.
Take a look at that.
Yeah, I see it. Go back to your podium. It's not funny. What's going on? Okay, let's just move on to Final Jeopardy. And the category is, you know what, I tell you what, just write a number. Any number and you win. We'll accept any number at all, a 1, or a 2, or a 3, or how about a 4? It's that simple. I know you can do this. Let's start with French Stewart, who's grinning like an idiot. You look pretty sure of yourself. Think you've got the right answer.
Yes, I'm pretty sure of it, Alex.
Well, all you had to do was write down a number, and you wrote 3. Combination of 3 and 5. Simply stunning. And you wagered Texas with a dollar sign in front of it. I'm speechless.
No, I did not get the answer from anyone else. It all came from Mr. Stewart's noggin up here.
That's beautiful. Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, don't bother. I didn't write anything.
Good work. All right. Finally, Mr. Connery. The category was numbers, and you wrote a letter V. Well, I tell you what, my friend. V is a Roman numeral, so despite your best efforts, you answered correctly. Let's see what you wagered. Suck it, Trebek. That's all the time we have. Good night. Mike, would you get them off me?
On the 13th of January, 1931, right here in New York City, magic happened. An artist was born that would rival Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. But his tools would not be pen, nor brush, nor chisel, nor palette. His tools would be his comically oversized glasses and his soul. So please, welcome the greatest performer ever to have graced this earth, Charles Nelson Reilly. If you ever want to see acting at its finest, acting that will make you re-examine your life, acting that will make you see the world for the first time, watch the 1969 television series Love American Style. Specifically, the episode entitled Love and the Laughing Lovers. It is a delight. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was fantastic. It was a summer full of fashion, fun, and frivolity. I learned a lot. One time, Gary Neuwirth, the director, said to me, Charles, why don't you grab the glasses between your thumb and forefinger and pretend you're twisting them? And I was never the same.
Nor indeed was the world, nor history, nor anything that the human eye has ever captured. When one thinks of CNR, one's mind goes right to Match Game. That show was delightful. No, it was brilliant. No. There is no word to describe its perfection. So I'm forced to make one up. And I'm going to do so right now. Scrumtrelescent.
Oh my, that's a good word.
Yes, it is. Match Game was absolutely scrum-trelescent.
You know, once we were taping Match Game 75, Nipsey Russell, Brett Summers, and I, and we were hanging out at Gene Raven's house, and Nipsey said, Charles, where does the joy come from? And I said, it comes from my blank, and it blank from my blank. And Betty White laughed so hard, her boob fell out.
Unbelievable. You are a modern master. Already a huge success on Broadway, you easily crossed over into film. In 1984, you portrayed Don Don Cannelloni in Cannonball Run 2. The performance so scrum-trelescent, I can barely move. Then in 1985, you played the hardest role of your life, yourself, in Joan Rivers and Friends Salute Heidi Abramowitz.
My Joanie.
Yes. What was it like to play Charles Nelson Reilly?
Sad, fun, tragic, happy, glorious, sticky, horrible, neat, and a little gassy.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven. Now, there's one important role we have yet to discuss, and that is the voice of King Lort in the 1993 animated feature, A Troll in Central Park. If you haven't seen A Troll in Central Park, you must. It is like looking into the face of God and seeing him smiling back, saying, "You are my most wondrous creation." May I speak with King Lort?
Oh!
Is King Lort there?
Oh, of course. Well, hello, James Lipton. I'm King Lort. There's a troll in Central Park. I'm King Lort.
I'm born anew in your genius. We will conclude our evening, as we conclude each of our evenings, with the questionnaire invented by the great Bernard Pivot. Of apostrophe papillon de la culture bleue sur ta culture. What is your favorite word? What is your least favorite word? Well played. And finally, if heaven exists, What would you like to hear God say when you arrive? Charles Nelson Reilly, I am not alone in thinking that you make Gandhi look like a child pornographer. For Inside the Actor's Studio, I'm James Lipton.
She's staring over a bowl of dreams.
No.
Why are you at work?
Oh, hey, honey. Come and sit down. I want to play you this song.
Why aren't you at work?
I got fired.
What?
I don't need that stupid job. This one's the one.
You are pathetic, Milo. You're a talentless loser, and I'm not supporting you anymore. Send me a note when you win a Grammy, jerk.
Fine, leave. You see, I'm going to be big. You see, I'm going to be a big loser. Oh, man, I'm never going to go anywhere without a hit song. Dude, I would sell my soul for a hit song right now.
Ah! I am Lucifer. Listen. And I have heard your request, and it shall be granted. Do you, Milo Jenkins, truly wish to render your soul unto me in exchange for the success you crave?
Oh, yes, sir, I do. I mean, if I could have one hit song, I know it'd solve everything for me.
It shall be done. Now then, forsaken soul, open thine ears and slake thy thirst on the music that can force kings to their knees and oceans to boil. Behold the song that'll take you to the top of the charts.
All right.
There's a guy named Fred and he's got a pair of slacks. Ooh, Fred's got slacks. Real quite sharp, but they're a little tight in the waist. Ooh, Fred's got slacks on the boulevard.
Hold on a second. I think it's out of tune.
Man, I mean, I don't want to miff you, but that sucked.
I said the guitar was out of tune. I'm
sorry.
It wasn't my fault.
Okay.
Fred Slacks is a winner. But fine. Here we go. I'll give you another one.
Okay.
Behold, a fiendish masterpiece from the bowels of hell.
Yeah.
Mondays, for I hate Mondays. They make me be so steamed. Weekend! That was on the weekend!
Son of a bitch! Is it human in here? Because the guitar keeps getting out of tune!
Man, what kind of guitar is that, man?
It's a hell-spun mixture of the bones of fornicators and the sinew of thieves and gluttons!
It's a Fender.
Oh. Well, man, maybe, you know, look, maybe we should just, like, call this deal off, because it seems to me that, you're just not that good.
Oh, really? Then where did this tasty lick come from? And on top of it, add this. Zorkas, Farkas, a jaw started by the love band. Driving me mad!
What the hell was that?
Okay, just hold on. I'm just gonna jump into one without thinking. No thinking. I'm just gonna let it flow. Let it flow now.
Fast car on the highway. On the highway, Mr. Robotron.
Okay, that's not a good one. I gotta move on. You mind if I sit down?
No, please. Up.
Okay. Can't be so critical. Just get out of my head and go. Just go.
Hey, you. You're a nice guy. Put your shoes on. Hey, you.
Okay, hang on. That's a Smash Mouth song with just different lyrics.
No, it's not. It's, hey, you.
Yeah. Oh, what the frick? Cut me a break! This is hard!
Oh, well, hey, Matt, listen. Say thanks anyway, but if it's okay with you, I'll just keep on plugging. And truthfully, you kind of made me feel a little better about myself.
You know what's hard is the F chord. It hurts my fingers.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Mr. Devil. Tell you what
else is tough. Stay up this late.
I'm sure you gotta go, so...
Wait. I think I got it. Here I go.
Okay.
Here I go. I'm the devil, and I'm here to say I'm the most evil rapper in the USA. All my homies and my bitches, hey, ho, ho. All right, I'm leaving. I've embarrassed myself. I'm sorry about this.
That's okay. These things happen, you know?
I'm kind of tired. Is it cool if I leave through the front door?
Yeah, just make sure you jiggle the handle and make sure it locks behind you.
All right.
Okay.
Take her easy.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah. Take her easy. She's my lady, and that's what I say. Hey, that was good.
No.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm going.
All right. Wow. Man, devil can't write no love songs. Hey.
Holy devil never could write no love song. Didn't seem to matter how hard he tried now. Cause the devil never got his heart broke. And the devil never cried.
So what's my secret? I don't know. Most of good genes, I guess. And plenty of sleep. 14 hours a night. Every night. No ifs, ands, or buts. Also, keeping a moderate work schedule. And taking frequent catnaps. Plus, when it comes to my official duties, I make sure I pace myself. But whatever the reason, the bottom line is, Americans don't need to worry. I'm in excellent health. Other people may drop like flies in this administration, but I'm going to be around for a long time. On the job, making the tough decisions. 24/7. That's 24 hours a week. Seven months a year.
Janet Reno, prepare to eat it Giuliani style.
Then how comes my conscience is so clean?
Saddam, are you still there?
Who is that? One of your Jewish friends?
No. Well, yes. So.
Hey, Saddam.
Monica, you never call me anymore. Monica. Oh, thanks for the beret. I love it.
From the outermost reaches of the universe to the innermost planets of our solar system, this is Space, the Infinite Frontier, with your host, Chicago Cubs broadcaster, Harry Carey.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. And welcome to Space, the Infinite Frontier. We've got a great show lined up for you. Joining us in the studio today, all the way from Caltech, is astrophysicist Dr. Ken Waller. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks so much. It's nice being here.
Now, Doctor, recently they've discovered that there might be life on one of the moons of Jupiter. Yeah. Now, that's got to be exciting for you.
Oh, yeah, Harry. We're thrilled to discover that life can theoretically exist below the surface of planets due to the heat caused by volcanic activity.
That's something else.
Yeah.
Hi! Let me ask, what's your favorite planet?
Well, I don't have a favorite. I find them all fascinating. They're all part of a...
Mine's the sun! Always has been. I like it because it's like the king of planets.
Well, actually, Harry, it's not a planet, it's a star.
Well, planet or star, when that thing burns out, we're all going to be dead.
Well, that's true, but it's not going to burn out for a very long time, of course.
I hope not. Hey, Doctor, have you ever seen an eclipse?
Yeah, I've seen many, yes.
You know, if you stare at it head on, it'll burn your eyes out.
Well, it's not best to stare at the sun during an eclipse, you know.
But it's hard not to. I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
Because you're curious like a cat?
Yes. Hey, now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. I would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you?
I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
Well, I don't know how to answer that.
It's not rocket science. Just say yes and we'll move on.
Yes.
Hey! How about this mad cow disease?
What about it?
Well, it was here for a while, then it went away. Your thoughts?
Yes, yes. It was what was in the news for a while, and then it disappeared from the news.
Good point. Gee, I hope I never get it. Hey, what about this? If you had a choice between being the top scientist in your field or getting mad cow disease, what would it be?
Well, of course I would choose to be the top scientist in my field.
Oh, good. I was worried you'd choose mad cow.
Why would you think that?
I guess I'm just a worrier. That's why my friends call me Whiskers.
I thought you said your friends called you Whiskers because you were curious as a cat.
Well, Dr. Waller, it has been a pleasure. We've covered a lot of ground, shared a few laughs. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
He's a good kid. That's all the time we have. Join us next week with our guest, Albert Einstein. What? Well, apparently Albert Einstein died 42 years ago. You know what? We'll try and get him anyway. See you next time. Come with. Come with.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
What? Yeah, yes?
We were wondering, is this your first time at the Welshley Arms Hotel?
Yeah.
And are you here without a lover?
Well, I am by myself. I'm just staying here on business.
We frequent the Welshley Arms.
Yeah.
We find it a perfect, quick, lover's getaway.
Yeah. Forgive me. We are Professors Roger and Virginia Clavin.
And your name?
Dave.
Dave, may I share something with you?
I guess. I'm really just trying to...
I find when one first enters the scalding waters of the hot tub, it is not unlike your first encounter with a new lover.
I remember the first time Roger and I made love.
Yes.
Yes. We had pulled over after a long Sunday drive. Roger led me to a clearing, laid me down upon a bed of fresh meadow grasses. He then rubbed my nubile body with fruit liniments and Noxzema. Then he artfully covered my back with melted butter and cloves. And until the flies and ants came. Methinks it was the finest lovemaking the world had ever known.
Are you listening, Dave?
Yeah, I'm just tired, that's all.
Is that the professors Virginia and Roger Clavin?
What a surprise!
It's our dear friend, Barbara Hernandez.
Yes. Barbara, what brings you to the prestigious Wergere Arms?
The usual. Quiet strolls, family-style dining, archery.
Well, please join us in the hot tub.
Thank you, Roger.
It's very refreshing.
Simply is divine.
Yeah, Barbara, dare I ask, are you no longer with your lover, Mitchell?
Well, as you know, Mitchell was the most skillful and creative lover.
Oh, yes.
However, his love for me was exceeded by his love for sweet wine and dog racing. So now I can turn my attention fully to my first love, archery.
Dave. David. David.
Right.
Our dear friend, Barbara Hernandez, is the top female archer in the Northeast Division.
That's unbelievable.
Does anyone care for spiced lamb shank? At this point during the soak, my lover and I usually crave spiced meat. And keep them here in this igloo cooler.
The Wellesley Arms is renowned for its
shanks. Yeah, wonderful shanks.
I'm good.
You're missing out on some good shanks.
We should mention that although the waters above appear calm, below the surface there is a frenzy of activity. Groping, fingers fluttering, thighs twitching in the anticipation of lovemaking that will take place in this hot tub in less than 12 minutes.
I'm getting kind of pruny. I'm out.
Wait. Barbara, you are Thorn's lover. Dave, you a weary business traveler. Perhaps Cupid's aim is as sharp as that of Barbara Hernandez.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I think I just...
David, don't be alarmed by the professor's club. And I remember myself when I first met Rog and Verge at the university. We had taken a camping trip to the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
After a supper of jackrabbit haunches, we laid out beneath the stars.
Somewhere in the distance, we heard the pounding of native drums. Was it in our minds? We don't know.
That night, the great eagle spirit himself appeared at our tent and beckoned us to make love. Yeah. We submitted to his ravenous desires. As the three of us became one with the great eagle spirit.
Turns out, the great eagle spirit... Great Eagle Spirit was actually a fugitive trucker by the name of Rich Crenshaw.
Maybe I'm just road weary, but that's a pretty beautiful story.
Lover, would you care to see my bed adorned with hibiscus petals and my photo of me? And Gina Davis.
Gina Davis, that sounds nice. That's
where it is. Goodbye, Dave.
Bye, lover.
Goodbye.
Oh.
Nothing pleases me more than seeing two new lovers take off in the night mist.
Yes, lover, I think there's only one reward for the job we've done.
Let the screams of our lovemaking reverberate off the roof of the Welshly Arms.
Oh, lover.
And into the night sky.
Oh, lover.
Ow, my back.
What?
My back.
Is it your back? What? I thought the water might help.
Well, it doesn't help. Get the hell off me!
The most spectacular meal at a great little restaurant on the Upper West Side called La Abbondanza.
I love that place.
Which, of course, in Italian means...
affection.
No, actually, it's abundance.
Abundance?
Abundance, yeah. And Cass, there was so much food that at one point Gail looked at me like,
you expect me to finish all of this?
Oh, no, what did Gail say?
I just told you what she said.
Oh,
I just told you.
This is intense.
very special night. For the first time, we will conduct a seance in an attempt to contact the dead mother of Mr. Rocky Balboa. Sometimes I think that our love is dead because you like men, Mr. David Larry.
Maybe I do, and maybe I do.
All right, class. Now, tonight we are going to work with the most demanding subject there is for sculptors, the human body. Unfortunately, the model I usually use couldn't make it, but we do have a last-minute replacement. His name is Terrence Maddox. Terrence, you can come in now. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Maddox.
All right. Let's start the bidding at $100, shall we? 100, 100, 100. Ooh, 1,000. Going once, going twice. Sold to the gentleman in the front row for $1,000,000.
Oh. Just have a seat, Mr. Maddox.
I think I've made my point.
Now, Mr. Maddox, we've been studying Roman and Greek sculpture, so we are hoping to get you into a classical pose.
Hey, ladies, it's your money. You guys can do whatever you want.
Just strike a pose, Mr. Maddox.
All right, well, I got two poses to choose from. The thinker or the stinker.
Please, Mr. Maddox, these students are going to be tested on this.
Well, that's cool. I just took a test this morning.
Wonderful.
Yeah, at the free clinic for hepatitis. I kicked ass, too. I got an A, two B's, and a C.
Oh, my God.
But don't tell the Sixth Street Blood Bank.
What?
Hey, how's this for a short story? A guy can't sell his blood because he's got hepatitis. But he can't afford hepatitis medicine unless he sells his blood. So he poses nude in art classes. Plus, one time he did it with the dead guy.
All right, whatever. Let's just get through this. Now, class, I want you to study Mr. Maddox, as unpleasant as that may seem. Now, take him in. Search his body with your eyes. Oh, my God, that is disgusting.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh, Mighty Kong has woken from his slumber. Well, class, it looks like it's time for a pop quiz. But don't worry, because apparently I'm grading on a curve.
I can't take this.
Well, if life hands you lemons, you may as well make lemonade. And I've been wanting to make lemonade all day.
Oh, my, this is too disgusting. Mr. Maddox, I want you to get your things and get out of here. Mr. Maddox, please stop. Calm down. I had to do something. I'm sorry, but you'll have to go.
I know what I'm not wanted. But before I go, I got something to say to you people. You talk about ancient beauty and classical forms. But if you ask me, you wouldn't recognize real beauty if it was outside in the parking lot waiting to give you hepatitis. Which it will be 10 minutes from now. Good day to you.
Karen, honey, how was school today?
Fine. Did you have band practice today, or is Mr. Larson still sick?
No, he's still sick.
I had a funny thing happen today at work. When I left the office, I had trouble unlocking my car. Then I realized I had the wrong set of keys.
Did somebody take your keys?
Can I finish the story? Turns out that I had accidentally taken Jeff Peabody's keys, and he had taken mine. We really had a long laugh.
I thought that's who took them.
Will you ever let me finish a damn story?
I just assumed that Jeff
I would
Peabody...
love to finish one damn story.
Your stories are lame, Dad.
You don't talk to me like that.
Shut up.
You don't talk to me
I
like that. I am a division manager. That is very important.
Do not raise
very
your voice
important.
At me or
you
my
don't
parents.
Talk to
do
me like
me
that.
Head?
People
don't
are
you...
scared of me.
Why would anyone be scared of you? I hate you, you big fat turd.
I spoke with Paula's mother this afternoon.
So?
I guess Paula's really excited about the sleepover tomorrow night.
Oh, shut up, you drunken witch.
Pick up my dry cleaning?
It's not ready until Thursday.
I thought you said it'd be ready today.
No, it's going to be ready Thursday.
Well, you know I have that meeting tomorrow.
Well, I'm sorry.
I wish you weren't a liar.
I didn't lie, Ted.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
I wish you wouldn't call me a liar.
Don't raise your voice at me.
I am not raising my voice.
You do not talk to me like that.
You
don't talk to me like that. I work too hard to deal with this stuff. I work too hard. I am a division manager in charge of 29 people. I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Honey, do you want to go to pottery class with me this weekend?
I wish you were dead.
I'm going to take the car into the shop tomorrow.
You mean your lame Dodge Stratus?
You don't talk about
Dear
my car
Lord,
that way.
I
drive a Dodge Stratus. You don't talk
Dodge
about my Dodge Stratus that way. You do not talk your car that way. Push-ups in 20 minutes!
I'm going to Rob's house! I hate you! Both!
Chicken is delicious.
It's a recipe from Lipton Cup of Soup.
The 11-day standoff between China and the United States is over, but the long-term effects on Sino-American relations remain to be seen. Joining us now with his insights is the State Department attaché for the U.S. Ambassador to China, Jacob Silge.
Thank you, Tina. Our relations with China have long been shaped by a tug of war between economic interests and political ideology.
Good, holy God.
Yes, I'll get to religion, Tina. But first, Taiwan. A Japanese colony until 1945.
Your voice.
My voice?
You're shouting.
How dare you? I have a voice-related medical condition.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
I suffer from voice immodulation, Tina. I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice. Also known as Van Orten syndrome, VI is a recognized psychomedical condition that you may have read about in Newsweek or Cracked magazine. Numerous prominent Americans suffer from this debilitating disease, Tina, including the guy who played Raj on What's Happening and tennis great Pete Sampras.
Jacob, I've heard Pete Sampras speak, and he doesn't shout all the time.
Pete Sampras has low-grade voice immodulation. He is a poster child for voice immodulation awareness and proof that even the voice immodulated can contribute to a society filled with prejudiced people like you, Tina.
Jacob, that's not fair.
Fair? I'll tell you what's not fair, Tina. Imagine being at a high school dance, singing along with everyone else, and a little bit softer now. And a little bit softer now. And a little bit softer now. Or how about sitting in the privacy of your church confessional?